We're talking today with Dr. Jeff Edwards, Extension Weed Specialist for Oklahoma State University. Jeff, we've had two freeze events now in wheat country, southwest Oklahoma especially, but even further north on up I-40 and a little bit north. Pretty cold a couple of times now, first in March and now here in the early part of April.
That's right. That first freeze event really hit us hard in southwest Oklahoma. Did anywhere from 10 to 80% damage, depending on the field location, how much moisture was there to kind of insulate the crop and create a microclimate. But the damage was fairly widespread and extensive. So we got through that one, dodged that bullet in north-central Oklahoma, and then we got hit by a freeze again. This one, I think there's no question that we're going to have some damage out there. In north-central Oklahoma, I think maybe we had enough moisture there and it didn't get quite as cold as we were expecting, stayed in the upper 20s, and we'll probably lose some primary tillers, but I don't think we're going to have complete losses in north or north-central Oklahoma. The big question for me right now is in southwest Oklahoma, where the crop was injured, we had some survivors out there. Did we get cold enough to go out and go ahead and take out those surviving tillers? And the jury is still out on that.
Obviously, again, it'll be a 7 to 10 day wait before we can really start looking at those plants and knowing.
It will. You can split open stems the day after the freeze and look for ice crystals, and that's kind of a telltale sign that things did not go that well. But in terms of accurately assessing the freeze injury, you need at least 5 days and preferably about a week to 10 days to be able to accurately assess how much injury you actually sustained.
I thought a couple of things from the March event that was pretty interesting in your blog and in conversations with folks. The better looking wheat was the thing that really got hit the hardest.
That's true because it was the most advanced. Our wheat, we had a fairly mild winter, and wheat that had a little bit of moisture under it and really got going during the winter was some of it that got hit the hardest. And that's really hard to deal with because we didn't have that much good-looking wheat to start with in Oklahoma, and that's the crop that really got hit the hardest was the more advanced, better-looking wheat that had really been taken care of.
I guess really in some ways if a guy had had that little bit better looking wheat, if he'd had cattle on it for maybe a short time, he might have knocked it back enough that he would have avoided the freeze.
Our grazed fields are the ones that probably weathered the freeze the best out of anything. Grazing will hold the wheat back and delay development. And, of course, there's a trade-off there in most years in terms of grain yield. You lose some grain yield because you're removing some of that leaf area. But in a year like this with the freeze, those are generally the fields that make it through the freeze the best are the grazed ones.
I think the other thing that you noted in a lot of the conversations, tremendous difference from one variety to another.
There are, and it's really just a matter of maturity. If you have a freeze event, most of the time it's going to hit the early maturing varieties the hardest. And we have a few varieties. Two that come to mind would be Billings and Jackpot that tend to really take it on the chin in terms of freeze. They're not quite as tolerant as some other varieties. But I think anything that is a duster maturity or earlier is probably going to be hit harder by the freeze than later maturing varieties. Things like Endurance, Iba, Winterhawk, some of these that are a little bit later are probably going to come out of the freeze in better shape than something like an Everest or Armor that's on the early side.
Looking at our crop right now, obviously we don't know the extent of the freeze damage, but given all the difficulties we've had, we have ended up with some moisture in a lot of our wheat country. Where do you see this crop right now?
I'm still pessimistic on our wheat crop. I still think if we can pull off an average crop, we're going to be doing very well in the state of Oklahoma. The freeze has set us back somewhat. Our fields have started to green up. They certainly look a lot better than they did throughout the winter now that we've gotten some moisture. But when you get out there and walk around in those fields, the wheat is not as thick as it should be. And there's really no way to make up for that at this stage of the game. And I think whenever we roll combines into those fields and harvest, that's going to show up. And I think we're looking at for an average to maybe below average yield in year in terms of total production for the state.
Are we? Have you noticed? If you talked to producers, you have gone out and looked around the country. Very many fields going ahead to choosing cattle instead of a combine.
Not many people have made that decision yet, and a lot of that has to do with crop insurance. From what I understand with crop insurance, they really can't call the field one way or the other until it is headed out. So they can't simply split stems and call the field a loss based on that. So most of our producers have to hold off and wait on those insurance decisions before they'll go ahead and turn cattle out. Especially in southwest Oklahoma, given the timing of the freeze, the wheat wasn't all that tall. I do think that's probably going to be the most viable option for a lot of those acres that are deemed a complete loss would be cattle. I don't know if there's quite as much, quite enough biomass out there to go ahead and bale for hay.
Right. One other area, as far as when we start talking about other problems with the crop, I know we just had the report from Dr. Hunger of finally spotting some fungus.
Yeah, you name the problem, and it seems like we have it this year. We've found some leaf rust in southern Oklahoma along the Red River. So I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we don't have leaf rust and stripe rust to deal with this year. I know it's tough to talk about right after a freeze event, making those types of decisions in terms of investing in the crop. But in Oklahoma, if we're going to be spraying a foliar fungicide, that decision will need to be made here in the next few weeks. Those applications need to be made after the flag leaf is fully extended, but before the crop is 50% flowering. So we have a fairly narrow window in Oklahoma to make those applications. So now is the time to be thinking about that, thinking about which fields you might want to spray and which products you might want to use.
Of course, the variety of products is really pretty broad as far as cost and the various products that are out there.
That's correct. We used to be relegated to one or two products whenever we talked about spraying a foliar fungicide. Now we have a lot of name brand products. We have several generics out there. In terms of the cost of the product, you could spend as little as $2 or $3 per acre or as much as $15 or $18 per acre. All of the products do a pretty good job. Some do a little better than others, but all of them are what I would consider to be acceptable.
Anything in particular you're advising producers as you talk to them now? What do they need to be watching for? How do they manage their crop, over the next couple of months?
Well, for the 2013 crop, with the exception of spraying a foliar fungicide or taking care of any insect problems that might arise, the die is cast. So right now is a good time to be thinking about what happened this year, what are the things that you did, and what do you want to change for the 2013-2014 crop. A year like this with freeze always reminds me that we need to split our maturities three different ways on any given farm. Spread your acres between early, medium, and late maturing varieties. We talked about earlier the early maturing varieties generally get hit hardest by the freeze, but in a year where we get hot and dry early, the early maturing varieties will do best. So the best way to spread your risk for all those environmental conditions is to split your acres with early, medium, and late maturing varieties. And also be looking at some of the new varieties out there. Duster is the most popular variety in the state right now, but we have several other varieties coming out that really will give it a run for its money, and I think our growers should be taking a look at. One from OSU is Gallagher that I think will make an excellent Duster replacement.
Oklahoma State University's Extension Wheat Specialist, Dr. Jeff Edwards. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.